Well, I have a question to start. And I think this might be one that might be answered quite quickly by one of the young people in our midst. Can you tell me where this photograph was taken? Any thoughts? No? I'll tell you then. This, if you'd said this was the Harry Potter dining hall, then you'd be almost correct. Okay? If you said this was the hall at Christ Church in Oxford University, you would be absolutely correct. And this, the Great Hall dining room sequences in the Harry Potter movie, although it was filmed in a studio, was very much based on the Christ Church Oxford dining hall. Now, I haven't had the pleasure of dining on a movie set, but I have had the recent pleasure of dining at Worcester College in Oxford, and this is a photo of their dining hall. I was attending a short conference there in the place of my boss, who could not attend owing to other diary events. It was not a large conference, so the formal dinner on the first evening could not be easily avoided. And at the allotted time, we were invited through the main doors of the hall, and rather formally, we had to stop and look for our names on the large seating plan laid out before us. I looked up and down numerous columns, and I simply couldn't see my name anywhere. And I was at the point of contemplating how to best to retire gracefully when a member of staff offered their assistance. They asked my name, and rather than saying, "I'm sorry, but you are not on the list," they pointed out that my seat was amongst the guests at the top table. Now, this was the last place that I expected to be, and indeed, I had not looked for my name there at all. Relieved, and by this point absolutely delighted, I nearly skipped towards my place, all the time very, very thankful that I had chosen to wear a dress that evening. However, elation at my unexpected and seemingly unearned VIP dinner invite dwindled rapidly as I approached the table. The impact was starting to sink in. How could I possibly fit in here? What could I offer the great and the good of the Oxbridge academic set? My dining companions at either side and opposite me were three women, as it happened, one an Oxford Hospital specialist oncology surgeon, another a Polish medical immunologist, the third a preeminent American professor of pharmacology, and me, a senior research fellow at the University of Strathclyde. I was in awe. However, I had a secret weapon. I'm Scottish. We blether. So I blethered. And if you're wondering what that particular group of formal diners spoke of during our five-course dinner, I'll tell you. We, of course, discussed how good-looking the lead character was from the TV series Outlander. And we had a laugh. Now, that may all seem somewhat trivial, somewhat fluffy. I cannot speak for the others. I can only speak of my own feelings. I felt welcome. I felt at ease and relaxed in the company, very much at odds with the feelings of anxiety and discomfort that I was anticipating. Indeed, the next morning at conference, as the work began in earnest, the warmth of the handshakes and the smiling greetings between the previous evening's dining companions was more than apparent. We had got the welcome right, one to another. So how does any of this relate to our reading from Acts today about Lydia? Indeed, how does it relate to our young people or to ourselves? For those perhaps not in the know, Jaffa 2 is a Bible study and occasional social group for teenagers aimed at those in the first to sixth year at high school. However, as a consequence of the attendance of some key and very loyal members, we can now say that we stretch that range up to university years 1 and 2 and to apprenticeship and work level. And a recent group of Jaffa 2 Bible studies has seen us journey through the detail of some Bible occupations, and Lydia came up for study and she was a merchant, a seller of purple cloth. In total, her appearance accounts for no more than 3 Bible verses, 3, that's it. And yet from those 3 verses, Lydia has achieved sainthood. This was a truly fascinating Bible character and we spent some time with her. We could speak of how Lydia was probably very well off indeed, possibly even rich. Purple cloth was a luxury item in those times. It was worn by those of importance, by rulers and kings. it's not absolutely clear that Lydia sold cloth. The King James Version translates that Lydia sold purple. And this was an interesting concept indeed for Jaffa too, being able to sell a colour for profit. But Lydia's business may in fact have been in manufacturing and selling the purple dye. And the source of that dye was an edible sea snail. In fact, the spiny dye murex, and Malta at one time apparently had these small animals on their stamps. And their purple colour comes from a small gland in the fish that has to be squeezed out to deliver only one drop per animal. Thus, the method of obtaining the dye was labour intensive. This also meant that the value of the dye was huge. It's estimated that 1 gram of purple dye was valued more than 10 grams of gold. A pound of wool dyed with purple could be sold for a sum that would take a worker 3 years to earn. A whole cloak of such material might cost 3 times that amount. Now, the material when dyed was very colour rich, and the intensity did not fade, hence its popularity. But one final fact that I thought was amusing was that although the rich people who bought these cloaks would be instantly seen, they would also be instantly smelled, as this cloth would smell like fish very, very strongly indeed. Now, Lydia clearly made money from this business. She would also have had an important and powerful clientele. So the first thing we can think about Lydia is that she may have been a woman of some courage. A husband is not mentioned in the passage, but the fact that she had a household may imply that she was a widow. Whatever her marital status, she was clearly a courageous woman to keep the business running at a time in history that did not necessarily favour women, let alone successful women. But having met Paul, having accepted the Lord Jesus, and having been baptised, Lydia went straight into action. This is the second thing that I personally admire about Lydia, and it's not only what she did next, it's also about what she did not do. What she did next was to open her doors to welcome in all sorts of people. For opening her house doors to little house group meetings, she is credited with spreading the gospel and with church planting in what is modern day Europe. She must have got the welcome absolutely right. This was a courageous thing to do for both Lydia and for those who attended. Roman governance meant Roman rules. There would be no favour for a new religion amongst the governed people that was clearly setting them on fire. And given Lydia's important clientele, she was potentially risking her business by getting even slightly involved, and she did way more than that. Also, with Paul and Silas in jail, she was now an associate of jailbirds, but that did not stop her. For me, Lydia is a real church without walls saint. And what she did not do was wait for a presbytery plan or a general assembly guidance. She served cups of tea. She played hostess. She sat next to people and blethered about this wonderful good news that she had heard. And I like this as my image of Lydia. She used her business skills, how to welcome people, how to speak with people, and look where it led. I feel very privileged to be part of a team that leads Bible study with Jaffa 2. Certainly at our Jaffa 2 meetings, someone is at the front. Having researched a Bible topic, they will lead on the discussion. But the others in that team, when not leading, will be sitting right there beside our young people. By sitting side by side, we are saying, look, we're in this with you. The leadership team will share the cups of tea and the cans of ginger and share in the mountain of chocolate or the chips or whatever food is on the go, and they will blether. Now, young people, to be fair, are generally not known for their active communication, but they still like even a wee blether. Jaffa 2 can take about 15 minutes at the start just chatting away before we really get into the Bible study. There's important work of welcome being carried out in those cups of tea and blethers. And potentially from wee blethers comes big conversations. And we won't get those conversations unless people are made to feel welcome. I think we certainly fret in the Church of Scotland about our future and quickly point to our young people as our future. But they're not really our future. They're much more our here and now. And maybe it's not so much a report that says what next that's needed, but an action on what now. And on that front, I think we need to take Lydia's actions to heart. For in every cup of tea served, every cup washed, every soup made, there is welcome and there is service. Service in the name of our Lord Jesus. Indeed, for some people who may only ever come to a coffee morning in a church building, this may be the only contact with a church. And if all they ever get is tea, we should nonetheless make them feel the love of God in our service of them in that moment. But if we build on that tea with blethers and through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Lydia effect might just take hold. So Thursday services here we know are very popular and I think very well attended. In fact, attendance has grown, running counter to national trends where worship numbers are rapidly declining. Maybe we should be courageous at some point and in an experiment turn around our Sunday model, turn it around and upside down and moving it towards the kind of Thursday service model. Maybe for a youth service we need to have our tea and welcome first in the large hall on a Sunday morning and then bring the buzz of blethers into a shorter service of worship to follow. And from those wee conversations over sharing tea, we can arrive at worship, holding those people much closely in our hearts and in our prayers. And surely that is building a church people, and that is God's work. And I want to finish just with one last thought. I'd like you to spot the difference on this slide, and then also to wonder at the difference it could make.